The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Our first article is titled, Estate Planning, Protect Your Wishes and Your Legacy. No one likes to imagine getting seriously ill, injured, or worse, but these occurrences are a reality of life. Although you can't prevent every catastrophic scenario, you can better manage the consequences by figuring out what you want to happen if you become incapacitated or pass away. Who should manage your money when you can't? What are your preferences for health care? And who will inherit your property? A comprehensive estate plan includes multiple legal documents that lay out your instructions for medical professionals, the financial institutions managing your money, and the courts that will distribute your assets after your death. An estate plan ensures your wishes are honored when you're no longer there to be able to enforce them yourself, says Joe Frezard, an attorney with Simasco Law in Mount Clemens, Michigan. If you don't put together an estate plan, the government and the courts will make these decisions on your behalf following state law. Your loved ones will be required to manage and apply for legal permission to manage your money and make your health care decisions, creating extra work during a highly stressful time. If you don't have everything prepared, you're leaving your loved ones with a mess and leaving yourself unprotected, says Mary Kate D'Souza, chief legal officer at Gentreco, a digital estate planning company. For example, the court may pick someone you don't trust to make decisions on your behalf. Your assets could go to people you haven't spoken to in years. Despite the importance of establishing an estate plan, only 32% of Americans reported having one, according to a 2024 survey for Caring.com, an online review site for caregiving services. The number of Americans with an estate plan has fallen since 2023, the first decline since 2020 when the COVID-19 pandemic made estate planning feel more urgent. That decrease is unfortunate because we're just one car accident or fall away from having to rely on others, says Bruce Tannehill, a director of estate planning for MassMutual. With a solid estate plan, you can rest easier knowing you are prepared for the worst. Well, what are the key components of a good estate plan? An estate plan is a combination of legally binding documents that outline your instructions and desires to, quote, protect your voice when you can no longer speak, says Lindsey Graves, an elder law attorney in North Canton, Ohio. Each document plays a different role. A complete estate plan should include the following. A living will. A living will lays out your desires for medical care, and if there are treatments that you'd refuse, such as artificial nutrition through feeding tubes or blood transfusions. How aggressively do you want doctors to manage end-of-life care, such as when you're alive, but will never regain brain function? If you have no documents in place, doctors typically will do whatever it takes to keep you alive, even if that care is more aggressive and invasive than you would like. In addition, loved ones may be required to make these end-of-life decisions. It's such a difficult decision to ask someone else to make. They always feel like they've killed the person, Graves says. Healthcare power of attorney. a healthcare power of attorney, or POA, name someone to make medical decisions on your behalf when you cannot. That individual serves as your healthcare agent or proxy, communicating with the doctor and deciding what course of treatment is best based on what they think you would want and the instructions in your living will. If you don't name a healthcare proxy ahead of time, your loved ones will need to go to court to be legally assigned this role, which could be which could become contentious if they disagree with one another about your wishes. The Terry Chavio case in Florida is a famous example. In 1990, 26-year-old Chavio suffered cardiac arrest and fell into a vegetative state. Chavio had never shared her wishes for care in such a situation, and for years her husband and parents fought in court over whether she should stay on life support. She died in 2005 after courts ruled that doctors could remove her feeding tube. Even if your family members are on the same page, they'll be locked out of guiding your medical care while they seek legal authority to make decisions on your behalf. For that reason, every adult should have these health care documents set up, D'Souza says. You might still be paying for your 19-year-old child's health insurance, but you still need legal permission to make health care decisions for them. And financial power of attorney. A financial power of attorney names someone to manage your money when you're unable to do it yourself. Typically, your named agent will be allowed to access your financial accounts to pay your bills and manage your assets. Once again, if you don't pick someone ahead of time, the courts will decide for you. It might end up being the last person you would ever trust with your money, like your child with drug problems, D'Souza says. When you set up a financial power of attorney, you decide whether you want it to be effective immediately or to take effect if you're declared incapacitated. Although you might not want the other person to have access to your money until you need help, this can create problems down the line. I had a case where a woman needed to use her mom's POA because she had dementia, but she could fake it through a competency test, Graves said. As a result, the daughter had a hard time getting permission to manage her mother's money. One alternative is to set up the POA to be effective immediately and store the document in a safe place, such as a locked file cabinet in your home office, where the other person will only access it when you need help. Last will and testament. A last will and testament explains who should inherit your assets. It also names an executor to oversee the distribution of your final estate and pay any last bills. If you have minor children or other dependents, you should also use this document to designate who will take over as their guardian. For this reason, creating a will makes sense even if you don't have a lot of property. If you die without a will, known as dying intestate, the courts will distribute your assets to your closest family members according to state law. For example, New York intestate laws say the money will go to your spouse and children, then your parents if you don't have a spouse or children, then your siblings, and so on down the family line. The money won't go to a charity or friend, anyone else, unless you lay out these instructions in a will. You can create these documents with an estate planning attorney. Expect to pay around $1,000 to $3,000, depending on the complexity of your situation. You could also use an online estate planning service. Transferring assets smoothly. A basic will is a good start towards leaving an inheritance, but there are additional steps you can take to save time, taxes, and trouble for your loved ones. Avoid probate. When you pass away, the courts will review your will and distribute property according to the instructions through a process called probate. probate can take months and require considerable legal expenses, depending on the state. Probate is also public. Others can see what you're passing along and challenge the decision in probate court. For example, an estranged sibling could try to claim some of your assets. You could avoid these problems by reducing the assets transferred at probate. One option is to set up a transfer on death designation on assets such as real estate, vehicles, bank accounts, and brokerage accounts. The account transfers directly to your heirs without going through probate. Another option is to set up a revocable trust. You control assets in the trust while you're alive. When you die, the assets pass through the trust to the named beneficiaries, avoiding probate. One advantage of a trust over TOD designations is that you can store all of your accounts in one place. In addition, a trust is private and offers protection against creditors. If an heir has financial problems or is facing a divorce, the trust could preserve their inheritance. Finally, you could use a trust to control how and when assets are distributed after you die. Rather than leaving a large inheritance to your 18-year-old grandchild, for example, you could set up the trust so that your grandchild gets the funds only after completing college or turning 25. And update beneficiary designations. Some financial accounts, such as life insurance policies, annuities, and retirement plans, are transferred to your heirs by a beneficiary designation rather than through your will. The accounts go straight to the beneficiary and avoid probate. Beneficiary instructions take precedent over your will. If you fail to update your beneficiaries, your money could go to the wrong person, such as an ex-spouse, even if your will states otherwise, says Brian Bell, a certified financial planner with First Horizon Advisors in Brentwood, Tennessee. You should update your beneficiary designations whenever you undergo a major life change, such as a marriage, the birth of a child, divorce, or the death of a spouse. And plan for taxes. Most families don't have enough assets to be concerned with federal estate taxes. In 2025, you can leave up to $13.99 million to heirs without triggering federal estate taxes, or $27.98 million for married couples. However, 17 states and Washington, D.C. also charge estate and inheritance tax, some with much lower thresholds. Oregon taxes estates that exceed $1 million, and Massachusetts taxes estates that exceed $2 million. You could potentially minimize estate taxes by transferring property during your lifetime, either by making gifts to your loved ones or by placing property in an irrevocable trust. You can't take assets back from an irrevocable trust, but it removes the property from your estate for taxes. If your estate is potentially large enough to trigger federal or state taxes, talk to an estate attorney about your options. And special situations. Most laws related to estate planning are designed for a traditional nuclear family, a married couple with adult children. However, a growing number of American households don't fit this definition. Singles, unmarried couples, and couples without children have additional estate plan issues to address to make sure their wishes are honored. And childless couples. Spouses will likely choose each other to inherit property and handle roles such as the financial agent and healthcare proxy. However, it makes sense to list a backup too. What happens if you're in a car accident together, Graves asks. You could name a sibling or friend, but if they're about your age or older, they may no longer be physically able to handle the role when needed, or they could predecease you. Consider naming a younger family member, such as a niece or nephew. You should also decide where your assets will go after you and your partner die, especially if you want your money to go to charity or someone who is not a member of your family. if you don't lay this out in your will, the courts will automatically give everything to your closest living relatives. And unmarried couples, estate planning is even more critical for unmarried couples because, in the eyes of the courts, they have no legal connection to each other. If one person becomes incapacitated, their partner may not have the right to make their medical decisions. Estate planning documents can protect your ability to care for each other. The same applies to distribution of your assets. Your unmarried partner won't inherit the property unless you name them in your will and beneficiary designations. Beware state estate and inheritance tax laws, too. For example, New Jersey charges taxes based on relationships. While spouses and civil union partners do not pay inheritance taxes, unmarried couples can pay up to 16% for transferring property to each other at death. And start thinking about strategies to avoid these taxes, such as gifting assets to your partner while you're alive. And singles. If you're single, divorced, or a widow or widower without children, you may have to give up some, extra thought to who will make health care and financial decisions on your behalf. You could, for example, name a family member or close friend. Make sure you select someone who is well positioned to take on the responsibility and that they are aware that you chose them to do it. If you name your nephew who lives across the country, he may not realize you're incapacitated and that you've picked him for those roles until it's too late, says Frezard from Simico Law. Because this role can be a big responsibility, you could even let the relative or friend know that they will be compensated by inheriting part of your estate. Consider who you would like to inherit your money, especially if it's a charity or friend. If you don't clarify your wishes in your will, the money will go to the closest living relative, which could be a distant cousin you haven't seen in years. And lastly, parents of a child with a disability. If you have a child with a severe disability who receives government support, you need to be very careful about how you provide for them after you die. Government programs such as Medicaid and Supplemental Security Income have extremely low asset limits for eligibility. Your child could be disqualified simply for owning more than $2,000 of cash and other assets outright. Instead of leaving money to a disabled child directly, you could pass along property using a Special Needs Trust, also known as an SNT. Your child can receive money from the trust for vacations, entertainment, electronics, and other discretionary products and services without losing government support. You should also decide whether another family member or professional guardian will take care of your child after you die. It's a huge ask to have someone take on this role, especially since siblings tend to move away from the family home, Grave says. The key is to figure this out while you're alive rather than leaving it to the system to decide. And our next article, how lower interest rates affect your finances. The Federal Reserve's rate cut will provide a relief for some borrowers, but savers will have to work harder to get decent returns. When the Federal Reserve reduced its benchmark short-term interest rate by half a percentage point in September, it signaled that it's shifting into a rate-cutting mode after a series of hikes that started in March of 2022 to combat inflation. That's reason to celebrate if you have high interest debt or expect to buy a home or car in the near future. But if you're a risk-averse investor who has enjoyed earning 5% or more on your savings account, you probably aren't joining in the festivities. Rates on bank savings accounts and certificates of deposits were starting to decline even before the Fed's September rate cut and are likely to fall more in the months to come. Kiplinger expects the Fed to cut short-term interest rates a quarter percentage point at one or both of its November and December meetings, and to continue cutting rates into 2026. While many banks will lower rates on savings accounts, if they haven't already, it may still be possible to find savings accounts that are paying decent yields, says Yuval Danbar-Orr, a finance professor at the Johns Hopkins Carey Business School. New online banks may continue to offer competitive rates on high-yield savings accounts to attract customers, he says. The downside is that banks can lower rates on savings accounts at any time. Investing in a CD will lock in the current rate until the CD's term ends, but opening a CD makes sense only if you know you won't need the money before it matures, because you'll usually pay a penalty on an early withdrawal. If you plan to buy a house or send a child to college next year, investing in a one-year CD could make sense, says Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst for Bank Rate. If you want to lock in interest rates over a period of years, while also having access to some of your savings, consider building a CD ladder. With this strategy, you spread your cash among CDs of varying maturities, 1, 2, 3, and 5-year CDs, for example. As the CDs mature, you can cash out or reinvest in another CD depending on prevailing interest rates. The outlook for credit card debt. The average credit card interest rate dropped from 20.78% to 20.65% after the Fed cut rates, according to Bank Rate. If you're making a minimum payment on your balance, that decline will barely move the needle on your monthly payment, Rossman says. Even if the Fed eventually cuts short-term rates by a total of 2.5 percentage points, as some analysts expect, the average credit card interest rate would likely remain above 18%. That's still very high-cost debt, he says. On the upside, rate cuts could lead credit card issuers to improve their balance transfer deals, Rossman says. With a balance transfer card, you can often take advantage of a 0% interest rate for a certain period, as long as the first 21 months. That could shave hundreds or even thousands of dollars from your interest payments, enough to offset a balance transfer fee of 3 to 5%. But this strategy makes sense only if you're able to pay off the debt before the 0% window expires. After that, the rate on the remaining balance typically jumps into the double digits. If you have a lot of home equity, another option is to take out a home equity line of credit to pay off your high interest debt. Rates on HELOCs averaged 8.37% in October, according to Bankrate, and will likely fall in the months to come. Keep in mind, though, that if you're unable to pay off your HELOC, you could lose your home, Rossman says. He recommends exploring balance transfer deals before borrowing against your home. And car loans. Interest rates on loans for new and used cars are also influenced by the Fed's rate adjustments, but it could be several weeks or even months before consumers see a noticeable decline, says Jonathan Smoke, chief economist for Cox Automotive, a research firm. Delinquencies on auto loans were significantly higher at the end of 2023 than they were before the pandemic, according to the Federal Reserve. That has compelled lenders to charge higher rates to offset the risk that borrowers will default on their loans, Smoke says. If the Fed continues to cut rates through 2025, they could decline to 2019 levels, when interest rates for new car loans averaged 7.5% to 8% and used car loan rates averaged 10% to 10.5%. In the interim, it pays to shop around. Get a loan pre-approval from your credit union or bank so you can compare it with rates offered by the dealerships. And lastly, mortgage rates. Rates on 30-year mortgages were falling even before the Fed rate cut, averaging 6.12% in early October, down from 7.49% a year earlier, according to Freddie Mac. However, those rates track the 10-year Treasury note, which is influenced by the projected direction of short-term interest rates over the next 10 years, says Kara Nye, senior economist for real estate website Zillow. As a result, the impact of a single rate cut on a 30-year mortgage rate is relatively small, she says. Although the recent decline in rates will help lower monthly payments on new loans, there are 31% fewer homes on the market than there were before the pandemic. That has kept home prices elevated in many parts of the country. If you put off buying a home in hopes of a continued decline in mortgage rates, says Nye, you may be disappointed. There's no guarantee mortgage rates will continue to fall, and Nye says that a return to the 3% rates home buyers enjoyed in 2021 is unlikely. Serious buyers should be ready to move if the right house turns up and it's within their budget, she says. You can always refinance down the line if rates drop much further. And here's an interesting article as we close out our episode today. Canceling subscriptions will get easier. The Federal Trade Commission has finalized a rule that eases the process when a customer wants to end a subscription. Sellers must provide a way to cancel that's as quick and simple as it was to sign up. If you've enrolled online, you must be able to terminate the subscription online with a click. If you signed up in person, you should have the option to cancel online or over the phone. Businesses must ensure that important information about a subscription is truthful, clear, and easy to find, and that people understand what they're agreeing to when they sign up. The new rules should also enable the FTC to get money back to customers when sellers violate the standards. By excluding necessary information or making it difficult for consumers to cancel a subscription, for example. Most of these provisions will go into effect in the spring. Well, that's great news for all of us who have numerous subscriptions. Well, we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.